What the fuck is a reboot?
Hello and welcome back to Clerks Minute Reboot, the show where we're looking at the 2019 Kevin Smith movie, James Bond Reboot, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake.
I'm Kyle, and sadly I'm not a member of the Oscar committee, otherwise this movie would have gotten at least a nod.
Well, you're pretty to say that. That's a bit of a stretch. Well, then again, some great acting in these minutes, That's for sure. But we have our guest for today's show. A friend of mine that's been around for a while, we've been podcasting for a long time now, really, back and forth on each other's shows from the Veronica and ABCs. We have Tracy. Tracy, welcome back.
Hello, city.
It's been a while. It's been a while since we've talked. It's actually nice.
It's been forever.
I think since I went on your show to do If I Had $1 Million, I think that's the last time we talked. It's been that long.
Oh, gosh, that's been a year at least.
At least. It's been a while. Yeah, so it's been a while. So, let's get into things. First of all, I ask this first question to everybody. History with this movie. Are you one of the people that are in the theater? Did you see it on Amazon Prime? Or, much like a few people on this show, is this the first time seeing it when I asked you to be on this movie? I know that's not true, so tell me your history with this movie.
So I actually, because I love Kevin Smith and I love his movies so much, I actually bought tickets for the experience in the theater where he came to the theater and did a Q&A before and after. He did it before and after because that's Kevin Smith.
Hey, Trace, you're officially only the second person that said that all season. You're only the second person.
Wow.
So there you go. You're the second person.
It was an experience. Like, he was only supposed to do a quick intro and then show the movie and then talk for only an hour.
Yeah.
Talked for half an hour beforehand, and then he's like, oh, I should probably show you the movie I've been talking about this whole time. Okay. And then showed the movie, and then got back up on stage and did another hour and a half afterwards.
That sounds like him. Yeah. That sounds like him.
I had to come up to him, and they're like, we need to close the theater.
Yeah. Because it's like Luis and Ant-Man. Once you put the diamond, you got to listen to the whole song.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was like that when we went to go see the Super Goober cartoon movie, where he did this whole intro, him and Jay did this whole intro, and then they were doing a live Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, and they went on for like a good 95 minutes after the movie.
It was
a long show.
The only difference between the two guys is that with one, you don't get a nice little bongo tune before he launches into a story.
But if you listen to this podcast, you get a long bong hit. You sound like I'm joking. That's the truth. That is the truth. I listened to another episode of this podcast to know he hit a bong hit every time he needs to tell a story. Like, it's not even a joke at this point. I don't know. Okay, Trace, because not many people are in it. Are you in the Kevin Smith Club by any chance with the podcast and everything on his website?
I am not. Okay. I have listened to his, I've listened to Fat Man Beyond. I listened to it for like the first 3 years. And then a lot of the stories started getting repeated, so I moved on to listening to some other podcasts.
Fair enough. I'm in the club. I keep saying to people, I'm in the club. And he does a daily show called Wake and Bake, where he's literally talking to us in the morning while being baked. It's actually some of the best shows, because this is where he's at his loosest. And when I say I'm in the club, I say it that way because he tells us shit that he's not supposed to tell us. So I get a lot of inside information from Wake and Bake.
Oh.
A lot of really cool instant information from the Daily Wake and Bake. So that's actually really cool. And then he realizes it later when he's editing. He's like, well, no one ever says anything. He doesn't say it in the club. Yeah. So we're good. Like, I know stuff about Masters of the Universe Season 2 already.
Yeah.
Like, I already know stuff about that. Like, that's the kind of stuff he talks about on Wake and Bake. Like, I can talk about it here, but I already know stuff. But anyway, let's get into where we are.
And among other things, he's told people in the club that we're not supposed to tell anybody. He's told us the location of the five golden tickets, and several ICBM launch codes.
Oh, wait. You kind of threw in, like, the lead on the end there.
Welcome to this season in a nutshell right here. Sorry, this is this season in a nutshell.
Do you mind sharing those when we go on? A friend of mine in the Eastern Asia area that really could use to have a few of them kind of go his way.
All right, let's get into the movie. So a little bit behind the scenes here. We were wrapping up the season soon on our end, recording wise, and we had to pick up some episodes and the season. What we didn't realize when we were sitting down to do this, because I watched the minutes as we were catching up to do the shows tonight, that the two episodes we did back to back were the serious moments of this movie. We did not do it on purpose. It just happened to line up that way. Like, we didn't realize until we sat down and I went to rewatch these 5 minutes. I'm like, wow, we ended up with the most serious fucking stuff tonight. Like, how did this happen? Like, how did this happen tonight?
My first note was, wow, this is the drama minute. This is like the time in the movie where, like, there's a couple of them, but this is one of the major moments when there's true drama going on.
Exactly. But before we do that, we do have to finish up where we left off in our last episode with Millie's Thor joke right at the end, talking about content, which would just pay off later on in the movie.
I just love, I'd fuck Chris Hemsworth until I was Thor, and somewhere Colin Mochrie senses a disturbance of the Force.
And then we ended it. Then we continue on. It's all I'm missing there. It's literally all we're missing.
That is the best Thor joke I have ever heard. Well done, Kevin Smith.
You're well done on that one. Because I didn't expect it coming from his daughter, which is even funnier. coming from his daughter. So, we stop in movies, which we have to do apparently a couple of times in this movie. And what do we think? Jay made Kevin, made Bob, order for himself because he said he's vegan, so we can't have a cow tipper. So what do we think earlier? We did this already. So then he ordered 6 cow tippers, and all of a sudden you hear from the back, we're vegan! And Bob's reaction is fantastic. Like, you knew this! Like, you knew this already! You knew this for me! Like, what are you doing?
Well, they're in a hurry.
Like, it's just so funny.
Well, and I love the fact that he's then, like, his response is, make that 1 cow tipper and 5 milkshakes. Like, we're vegan!
Oh, man. At least, you know what? I give them credit in the movie, because Kevin and Harley host a podcast called The Vegan Arbitrator. The whole podcast is about this. I don't think they do it anymore because Harley moved out, so they haven't been together as much. But they had a podcast about it. They even did a live show at Smodcastle. And the funny part about this is they literally, on that show, make fun of the fact that the whole joke is once if you ask somebody if they know they're vegan, just ask them. They'll just tell you. That's the whole joke. And that's their whole podcast. It's making fun of that. So I'm so glad they put it in the movie. They put it in the movie to make fun of that reference. Like, I'm so glad.
Making fun of themselves.
Exactly. And I appreciate that. That whole movie has been the making fun of themselves, which I like.
You don't see that a lot anymore.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Because, like, literally, they are just making this whole movie has been Kevin poking fun at everything about his life. That's pretty much what he's been doing this entire movie, which I appreciate.
Because I don't see Jordan Peele doing that.
No, it's true. It's very true. So
it's like after Us, he disappeared up his own ass.
Sometimes they just gotta let it sit there. Yeah. You just gotta let it sit there. I've learned that this season too. Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta let it sit there. Anyway, so we continue on, and Shang Yu is doing her good old talking to the microphone in Chinese and not make any sense moments. It just makes me laugh every time she does it because it pisses off Jay so much. It pisses him off so much.
You know, he gets so angry. Like, if you're watching this out of sequence, Jay gets unreasonably angry about this.
Although, let's be honest, if you had to spend the last 6 hours listening to that.
Fair. Yeah. I mean, it's fair. But she's talking into this doesn't look like a real microphone at all. Like, it's so weird how it works out.
It looks like a toy you get from the dollar store.
Yeah. And it's spinning.
Well, it's funny because that's the microphone that I used to use when I first started our podcast.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
We had to start off with $10 microphones, and that's what they are. They're little handheld devices that you carry with you that you hold like about this far from your face. And
although you can get great ones from Five Below, especially ones with pop filters.
I will say the microphone I'm holding is the most expensive microphone I've ever purchased because I got it because my parents sent me a gift card to Amazon and I used it. So literally all my podcast equipment came from a gift card from my parents. Yeah. They sent me a good gift card for Amazon and I picked up some really nice stuff because of it. Yeah. So, but this is literally the most expensive microphone I've ever owned.
Honestly, you could make a nice little game out of trying to figure out what the hell Shan Yu is saying there.
True. So, you know, actually, ironically, the only word I do understand is movies. Yeah. That's literally the only word that I worry. The word I got out of that whole thing.
I mean, for all we know, she could be saying the cure for cancer in Chinese.
But the funny part is, in the subtitles, it just says speaking Chinese. That's all it says in the subtitles. And like, there's no other subtitle besides English and Spanish on Amazon Prime, so it's not like you can jump over to Chinese to see who the version of it you can find.
Oh wait, maybe she's just reciting the entirety of Moby Dick.
In Chinese.
Yeah.
What's called, movies. And what, movies.
What's called me Ishmael in Chinese?
That would be the best joke ever, is if she's just like reading some random thing every bit during the movie.
That would be funny. Yeah. That would be a very funny running gag. That would not put Pat Kevin for whatsoever.
if she was reading Clark's lines.
That's tied everything together. That would be cool.
Oh, actually, I thought it would be great if at one point she'd just say in Chinese, if you can understand this, get a life.
So, we continue on with our... I love the fact that, by the way, we've been joking about this earlier. They have these old school map, old school like from blueprints. They draw these old school blueprints like it's Home Fucking Alone.
Yeah, it was very nice of them to let Kevin McAllister draw up their blueprints.
So it's funny. I think I brought this up in the last time we had a blueprint on this movie. But in the Kevin Smith audio, I think it was on Batman Beyond. They're talking about Clerks 3, and he's like, "I've never ever dealt with a blueprint in my entire life." Yeah, in the last two movies I've done, I've had a lot of blueprints in there, and I have no idea why. No clue why.
So that brings me to an editing mistake that I noticed here.
Go for it.
I don't know what Kevin was thinking when he was editing this movie, but I think he'd had a little bit too much chronic at that point. So we have them looking at the blueprints.
Right.
And she says that it's not the pedophile type blueprints anymore. It's a new plan. Jay says, "Let me see." All of a sudden, it goes back to them, and we see all of their faces and their bodies and, like, everything about them start showing him what the blueprints are. They even start turning the blueprints around. It cuts back to him for a half a second, then cuts back to
the girls.
Harley's face, and she says very succinctly, "No,
I see it. I just saw what you saw. I just rewound and I saw it." That is weird. That's very strange.
It's a 2-second thing where they were planning on showing him it, but all of a sudden there's this big changeover. I'm like, whoa.
That's a good point. I never thought about that. That is cool.
Maybe they were just psyching him.
Well, maybe that's true. That's happened. Millie had been messing with Jay this entire movie. Like, he hasn't been messing with him. So that could be totally what was going on there. Just they did it without saying it. That's a good point. Absolutely. Yeah. Good point. So, she says that originally they were going to take her mom's car when they left on their trip. But Jay and Bob just happened to be there. So they hung out with them, which is strange. When you think about their actual original plan, it's really strange.
Yeah.
Like, if you had a plan anyway, why did you bother to threaten them? Like, why did you bother? Like,
because it's fun.
I know, like, it ruined the entire plot of the movie. But, like, when they just explain their original plan, it makes no sense.
Their original plan is much better.
Because, exactly. But as we've learned from movies and TV and that, teens can be sociopaths.
Also true. And I think that I feel like they're almost making fun of that in this movie. Because you're right. There is zero reason, now that they can explain their original plan, for them to even threaten them with knives. There is zero reason for any of that to happen, except for the fact that they really just wanted to not drive.
Yeah.
That's the only reason they have it. They didn't want to drive.
They're lazy sociopaths.
So, like, that's the only logic I got for you at this point.
I used to play synthesizer for the band Lazy Sociopaths.
That is a great band name.
Yeah.
Band name, but I would just be worried that they would just be sitting down the whole concert.
Sorry, I just had a reference to Orange Cassidy in AEW, who is the lazy wrestler that literally, his whole gimmick is whatever. That's his whole gimmick. That's literally his whole gimmick. Like, it's so ridiculously funny. It makes me laugh every time.
So he basically stole the gimmick of Kimmy's boyfriend from Full House.
With the half thumbs up and everything. Yeah. And he even does, like, slight kicks that the crowd goes crazy. It's one of my favorite gimmicks in wrestling. Yeah, it's so stupid, but it makes me laugh.
Do you say anything else? I guess.
You really aren't describing Orange Cassidy. At this point, you only realize how much you're describing Orange Cassidy. But that's part of it, Cassidy. He comes out to the Pixies. Yeah. Comes out to the Pixies.
A lazy sociopath's concert would basically consist of the band sitting down while the instruments are on demo mode.
Ha! Oh, man, there it is! There it is.
You guys make your own music.
You're too stoned to care anyway. What's the matter?
Rather disturbingly accurate when describing a concert there.
You guys are so stoned, you didn't realize we just played a 3-hour concert. Go home.
Yeah.
By the way, I'd like to thank you for naming this episode. Thank you. Lazy sociopaths. That's the name of this episode.
They're so baked, they wouldn't they'd be entertained by 2 hours of a guy farting on a snare drum.
Somebody who's never been stoned. Like, you've never been stoned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can tell. You can tell by your jokes you've never been stoned.
Mainly because I'm rather paranoid that, of course, I get stoned and then it's random drug test day.
Okay. Believe it or not, my job, my boss knows I get high every week. Yeah. He knows. I told him this when we had a ride-along. And then he told me, I don't care. As long as it's not on the clock, I don't care, because my company I work for, I'm not going to say what company I work for, but the company I work for does not check for pot or weed in their drug test. They don't check for it. So we didn't care.
It's legal in Maine, so we're like, whatever.
It's not legal in Wisconsin yet. It will be soon. It's not yet. But, like, it's what it is. But anyway, let's get back to this. So,
well,
Jay.
Speaking of getting stoned, like, can I jump ahead a little bit?
Go for it. Mm-hmm. Do what you want to talk about.
She says that she is a huge Blunt Man and Chronic fan.
Yes.
And she doesn't recognize that these two losers at the front of the van look exactly like the alter egos of Blunt Man and Chronic.
That is a very fair question. Yeah. That is very, very fair. So we were joking. We were talking about that earlier in the movie. How does Millie not recognize them if her mom knows them? Like, how does he not put two and two together if they're going to the Chronic? And I can excuse it. When you realize that Shenyu is the reason they're going and Shenyu is the fan, right? Yeah. I can understand if the other three don't know who they are, if Shenyu does. Yeah. Now, Shenyu doesn't speak much. So maybe, going back to what we're trying to figure out what she's saying, maybe in her podcast on her Chinese thing, she's saying, I know them. Yeah. I recognize them. Are they the guys? Yeah. Like, maybe that's what she's saying. And we don't know, and they don't understand her.
This whole time, she's saying, so I'm at movies with Blunt Man and Chronic right now.
You'll never believe it. Like, that could be it. Like, there you go. That might explain it. Maybe she does realize it, but she's not speaking English here. So she's not telling them. Like, there you go. That ties it together. How's that for an explanation?
That works.
There you go. I got something for you. We've been doing this show for way too long. So anyway, Jay does reference back to the diamond themes from Strike Back. Oh, which I gotta admit, that is a fantastic reference, because at least it makes sense.
Yeah.
His explanation makes the most sense out of anything else he said in this movie. Like, I get his logic, and I understand what he's saying.
And I just love Billy's disbelief there with diamond thieves.
Well, my favorite part is he literally explains half the plot from Strike Back. Explains exactly how they met. And the best part is, Billy no-sells it! She no-sells the whole thing. Like, there's no way that was my mom. There's no way. That's the best part. Like,
did you guys notice that in this whole scene, and maybe it's only in this scene, but in this 5-minute scene, the only ASL, the only time that she's translating into sign language and the person next to her is translating into sign language is when they say diamond thieves.
No, I didn't catch that. That's funny.
They signal diamond themes like they're incredulous about it. Yeah. But that's it. That's the only time they use it the whole scene.
Which is really weird, because they're usually pretty good about that throughout this movie. They've been pretty good about it. Yeah, but you're right, that is weird.
Yeah, and poor Sophie's like, come on! What am I missing?
Yeah, what's happening? Because, like, literally, what is she seeing in there? If she's legitimately 100% deaf, that she's there saying she is.
Hopefully she's lip reading.
Exactly. Hopefully she's lip reading. Because you're very confused. Because if you're blazing it on sign language, and she starts crying. Like, what the hell are you thinking? Like, what is going on in front of you? And you all you see is one of your best friends crying her eyes out, and you have no clue why. Yeah. Like, it's a valid question, right? Like, what the hell is going on here? Oh, man. By the way, I do appreciate, by the way, that Shenyu pulled the silent Bob and says, blunt man, is the only word she says in English for this entire thing. I do like that. It's very funny. And they did that joke. And she says it's so, like, it's so that it shocks silent Bob. That's the funny part. She says that, oh, she speaks? That was my favorite thing about it. Like, his reaction's like, wait, what?
Well, and so I love what comes next, which is this whole, the whole monologue joke about what a reboot is. Like, we've been waiting the whole movie for Kevin Smith to tell us why he did this movie and named it Reboot. And he decides he's going to give us this monologue about why.
For the second time. Because we did this in the beginning. Oh. It was explained in the beginning. But then Jay explaining that he was there earlier makes it funnier. Like, it makes it funnier because Jay doesn't. Jay kind of gets it. I think he's on the same page. He gets it. He's following along. But taking the concept of a reboot in a movie and comparing it to someone's daughter is the worst comparison you can possibly make. Especially someone at her age. She's what, 18, 19? Yeah. So, like, it's the worst thing in the world to tell an 18, 19-year-old they're like their mom. That is the worst thing to do.
Well, especially when you slept with her mom. That's your kid.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that. Remember, she doesn't know that. She doesn't know that. Keep that in mind. She doesn't know that yet.
That's true.
Yes.
But would you really say that to your daughter, like, you're the best part of your mom? This is, like,
well, in a way,
but not the way that he says
yeah,
it.
Yeah, not in J world, not in the J world. But, like, at the same time, I've been told by my wife that CJ has the best parts of qualities of me, and that's different. But but you don't say it to him. Like, I see your point. You don't say it to him.
We're getting dangerously close to a Maury episode.
Maury, by the way, retiring. By the way, Maury announced his retirement recently. Huh. By the way, after 31 seasons, that's his retirement. There you go. 86 years old.
Oh,
Maury Povich. There you go. Yeah, that just actually just came out in the last couple of weeks as we're recording this. So there you go. But so I by the way, I find it so funny that he says we have a Chinese girl that I don't even know where she's from. Yeah. Wait, what? Wait a second. You were so close. You were doing so well, Jay, until you said that. You were doing so well.
And again, this is Jay.
I know, but, like, it's so funny. Like, he was doing so well. Yeah. Like, he's like, you're not, like, he's trying to figure out why she's in the mood she's in. You're not fucked up. I found out about her. I know about this one. And she's Chinese, but I don't know where she's from. Like, wait a minute, you were doing so well. You're doing so well. Oh, you messed up that ending.
Chinese.
Oh my god, that's just so funny. It's just a really funny moment. Like, wait, because, like, it's the only thing you know about them, you know. So then this is where things get serious. Things get really fucking serious when he goes and says what makes you're not as fucked up as they are, and she says, I met them because I'm as fucked up as they are. I'm like, oh, okay, this is interesting. So then he wants to know what's up. And she explains it, that they met in an online support group for girls who don't know their dads. I'm like, damn. Like, damn. that's straight up serious.
Yeah, we just dropped the mic on this moment.
Seriously. Like, I remember in the theater, we both looked at each other like, wait, what did she just say? Like, what? We're doing this now? We're getting really serious all of a sudden. And then we've been joking this entire run that the only person legitimately acting in this movie is Harley Quinn Smith. She's the only person legitimately acting. And this is the scene where she's like, this is going on my reel.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry. And I'm going to bawl. And I'm going to have this entire speech. And this is going to go on my reel.
The cynical part of me just wishes that they put a little flashing thing at the bottom going, give me an Oscar. Give me an Oscar. Give me an Oscar.
If this was the Mel Brooks movie, that would be there. I would totally be that this is the Mel Brooks movie.
She is like, did Kevin Smith tell this in his time when he was talking to you guys, that when they were doing the crying scene at the very end, like at the end of this movie, like, you guys will get to it,
right?
That, like, she was drawing it out of Jay Muse, and like really, like she was reaching in and really showing some deep, deep emotions. And like she is, she's a legitimate actor who's like, no, I want to do this right, and has gone to do, has trained in acting, and really kind of rose Jay Muse to that level as well. And made, inspired him to want to be better at what he was doing because he was acting across from her.
That's true.
And I think this is one of those scenes, because my note on here was Jay Muse is really showing that he really can act here, because that line that he says where, you know, I know your dad and he's a piece of shit. It could be a throwaway line. Like, Jay has had all these lines before this that are just kind of throwaway lines, throwaway fuck-its and stuff like that. He takes it really serious here, and he is, you can see the pain in the character and what he's saying about himself here, and it carries through the camera, which is amazing.
Yeah. A massive bit of self-loathing there.
True. And you know what's crazy is Jay was probably channeling his own life. Because the real Jay Muse only has mom. And he had a fucked up childhood. And he grew up quest. And he dealt with his drug problems. And he had all his issues. His mom had drug problems too. And like, he dealt with all this stuff. So he's probably channeling his own life.
Yeah.
Here too. Like, he doesn't, he hasn't had a normal life. Which makes his whole character arc in this movie even better. Like, even better. Because like, you're literally addressing Jay's real life issues without really addressing them in this movie. Which is so different. Like, not something you normally do. You know, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And also, you got to look at it this way. How hard must it have been for Kevin, where his daughter is acting the hell out of this scene and crying, like legitimately crying, and he's just sitting there like, wow, like in awe, almost like in awe, but he's trying to stay in character, and he's like, he's sitting there in awe. And then you have Jay, like, breaking down in the tears as well. You know, it's like his best friend and his daughter are, like, crying in front of him. You know, it's like, it's crazy when you think about it from that perspective, right? Like, it's weird.
Well, and he just heard his daughter say, I've never had my father around.
Yeah. Oh, that one hurts too, especially knowing how close they are. Like, you know how close the two of them are. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it's so crazy. But no, I respect the acting in this scene. Like, there's so much good acting. But you don't realize it until you sit there and realize, wow, they're really trying really hard to pull this off.
They are.
And they don't have to. And you don't have to do that. And they did it anyway.
No, I think it makes this movie that much more touching. Because it could just be it's a Kevin Smith movie. With, like, people, we were joking around earlier. Like, I would love to give this an Oscar. Honestly, I would like people to look at Harley Quinn Smith and say, like, actually, her acting is really amazing. She should be getting some more roles. Because, yeah, I mean, is it Oscar-worthy? No, but her acting...
Recognition. Movie, recognition.
Yeah. It brings it to a whole other level of just a fart and penis semen movie, mm-hmm. which it isn't, but it could have been, and I think that she helps to bring that up higher, and I think Kevin Smith's character arcs in this movie also help to bring it higher.
What's fun about it is that we have a female doing it. We don't really do the female lead thing. Yeah. And it's interesting to do a female lead.
And in all honesty, let's be honest, the Oscars is just basically a circle jerk going, you know, look at how enlightened we are.
It's actually funny because obviously this episode's going to air way after the Oscars. And it's funny because Kevin, I don't know if you know about this, Trace, but Kevin actually got in trouble by people on Twitter because he went and said Spider-Man deserved to be nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
No Way Home. And I 100% agree with him. I 100% agree. Yeah. But Kevin gets so much shit from every, not just like fans, from everybody.
Yeah. Why?
How dare you take a slot away from another self-righteous piece of shit?
It's not even that. He didn't even say that.
Yeah.
What he said was, and I agree with him 100%, there are 10 best picture slots. Yeah. It doesn't have to win.
Yeah.
But why are they not nominated? Why did it not get one of those 10 slots?
Because its name
isn't... Toy Story 3 got a slot. It deserved it.
I was going to say the superhero... Spider-Man didn't get nominated because his name wasn't Black Panther.
True. Black Panther got nominated. You're absolutely right. And Black Panther was different. Black Panther was different. You got to give credit where it's due. Yeah. Black Panther was different. But
I will say, like, this... Like, Spider-Man was an amazing movie.
It was a great picture. And you know what's funny about all that buzz? It led to them making a new category for this year's Oscars. because they realized, oh shit, people are going to watch this if we don't have the popular movies on here. People are not going to watch this show. So they added a new category where you have a fan voted category that Spider-Man is up for now. To win an Oscar voted in by the fans, which has never happened before. They brought up a brand new category because of this. It's just a weird situation going on. And I saw the category, I'm like, movies like Tick, Tick, Boom are in this category. And Spider-Man are in this category. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. Like,
okay,
this
now,
is really cool.
Okay, now, how long will it be before the internet exploits this and tries to get an actual shitty movie in there?
You couldn't. Because they did what they gave you, like, 20 nominations to choose from. They didn't let you pick.
Yeah.
They said, here are the 20 best movies that happened either on Netflix or on, like, Spider-Man or on theaters.
Yeah.
Obviously, Spider-Man was on top because it was the top movie of the year. And they said, pick out of these movies. They didn't say, there was no writing category. You know what I'm saying? There was no writing category. But, like, that's pretty cool they did that. And also, the other thing they did was, another thing, the Oscars are trying to get people to watch the damn Oscars this year. So the other thing they did was, with Encanto being so popular. Encanto being so popular right now. They didn't, now, obviously, when they put the Oscar nominations in, I forget what song it was. I think it was the one in Spanish, that Lin wrote in Spanish. That's the one that's nominated for Best Song. Yeah. And he put it out there thinking, this is the Oscar bait song. He admitted it. This is the Oscar bait song. I'm trying to win my damn Oscar. I want my EGOT. This is my Oscar bait song. But then, We Don't Talk About Bruno took off. Became the biggest song in the fucking world. Period. So then, the Oscars
Which
got smart.
Which is not the best song in that movie.
It is not, but it is the most popular song in the world. And it's the earworm. So then, the Oscars turned around and said, well, we need people watching this damn show. We're getting the first live performance of that song, even though it wasn't nominated for an award, on the Oscars. I'm like, that's actually pretty smart. Like, I'm getting it. They're good. At least they're starting to pay attention.
Yeah.
They're starting to pay attention a little bit.
Yeah, put the popular one in instead of the cynical
Oscar. No. It's still Oscar. It's not nominated.
Yeah.
They're having a performance of the most popular song in the world on the Oscars. Like, it's actually pretty popular. It's
like,
pretty
smart. Like, is that a performance of that instead of, you know, the
they're
cynical
Oscar? They're doing both. They're doing both.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what it is was. Again, like I said, and Tracy could draw for me on this one, because if you didn't see Encanto, I think Sheriff Fetcher is the better song. I think Sheriff Fetcher is actually the best song on the show. But
What did you guess?
Surface Pressure might be the best song on the show.
Oh, yes, that was the one I was going to say.
Exactly. But the thing was, Kyle, what I'm trying to say is when they put the nominations in for this movie, they didn't expect, number one, the movie to be so popular. And number two, for Bruno to become the mega hit. No one ever expected it because a song like that doesn't become a hit. Because it's not a solo song. It's a group number. It's not meant to be a hit song. It's not supposed to be. Like, it's like saying Hakuna Matata was number one on the radio. Like, it's not something that happens. Like, it's not something that happens.
It's kind of, to be...
Well, Bruno's
to be...
name originally wasn't Bruno. So, they changed that, and by changing it...
It changed everything.
Yeah.
Changed everything. And became the biggest Disney song of all time. Literally the biggest Disney song of all time.
Yeah. I was going to say, this whole thing with the Oscars, it feels like they're just throwing a couple of bones there while basically trying not to change, you know, how self-righteous and self-serious
That's
they
true.
Are.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But I give them credit for at least paying attention.
Yeah.
Because they really think the ratings suck. And they need... And they actually have hosts this year. They haven't had hosts in like 4 years. They actually have hosts this year.
Yeah, unfortunately, the trade-off is that it's Amy Schumer.
Yeah, but you know what? It's going to be funny. Oh. At least it'll be funny. Like, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to... See, you and me have different senses of comedy, so you and me are different when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I haven't watched the Oscars in 20 years.
I think I've watched it. I watch it. I don't watch it in full. Like, I'm trying to see if, like, the only category I ever care about is song. So a lot of times, I'll jump back and forth so I see a song that I want to see. Like, I'll jump on to see Bruno, and I'll watch on to see this performance from Encanto. Like, I'll watch musical numbers, and I'll want to see if Lin wins his Oscar. That's about it. That's all I'm going to care about for this. That's all I'm going to care about.
Because it's basically, if I wanted to watch a circle jerk, I'll watch porn. Thank you.
Fair enough. Let's get back to our movie. On that wonderful note, let's get back to our movie.
Well,
as they're having this...
That brings me to a note that I actually had.
Go for it.
Because one of the things I noticed in watching this whole scene... So we mentioned before very quickly, they're in the drive-thru line. The last thing we see is them driving up to the drive-thru window.
Right.
We don't see them, like, pulling over and waiting. And matter of fact, like, so we don't know. All we know is that they were driving up waiting for their food. This is the slowest service of any drive-thru window ever, I think. Because they are just sitting there having this whole conversation waiting for their food. We know there's someone behind them because if you look... I mean, obviously, this was just backlighting in order to make the scene look right, and it was Kevin Smith trying to make the lighting look perfect. there's a headlight in the back window shining.
Oh my god, that's funny. I see it. I see it now. I see it right behind Millie. I see it.
The slowest.
They're sitting in line this whole time waiting for their food.
You know what though? This, you know what? From someone who drives now for a living. I drive now for a living. This is not surprising. If you've ever gone to McDonald's around lunchtime, and around lunchtime, it is this fucking slow. I've lived this. It is. I can sit there. I listen to a lot of fast-paced podcasts. Like podcasts are like sometimes 15, 20 minutes because they're MMX shows. And I've gone through two different podcasts while waiting in line for food. That's how long I waited in line sometimes. So this is not exactly that far-fetched.
The shake machine is broken again.
But at night, you're right. In nighttime, it's late night. We don't know what time it is. But they are at the window, and they have their food. And spoiler alert for the next episode, they never get their food! They never get it when they drive away! Spoiler alert! Come on! That's crazy.
They just got in and ate it within about 30 seconds.
But the whole thing is they never got the food because they drove away when Bob and Jay were distracted. So never bring out the food. It's the second time we've had a movie joke at this and nobody ate food. Because early in the movie, they went to movies, and they ran into food. They just threw it on the ground for everything that happened there. So, it's the second time this has happened. Oh, man.
And had this not happened, we might not have the next scene.
It's true. The next scene, which is the craziest scene in this entire movie. But we'll get to that in the next episode. But before we get to there, the van starts shaking.
Well, that's what I mean. Is like the van starts shaking. Had the food not taken this long, we would not have Merkin. The van shaking.
Merkin on top of the van throwing hater tots, which is a fantastic callback to earlier. Great.
I love hater tots.
Yeah.
Isolate that.
Really? Because you're the hater tots.
Oh my god. Merkin has turned full heel here. Like, full out evil.
I love that Merkin is throwing hater tots at them, and they're just like, what? Like, he's like flinging them as hard as he can, and they're just sitting there going, like, who gives a shit? Matter of fact, Kevin Smith, and it might be at in the next minute, but Kevin Smith just raises his fingers.
Well, my favorite part, I mean, the next minute where he starts eating them as he's throwing them at him. He starts eating them!
Yeah, Merkin's fatal flaw is, at the end of the day, his weapon is still tater tot.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
Now, unless he shot him out of a slingshot, then maybe they'd hurt a bit, but...
But it's still, at the end of the day, it's still tater tot. And they're not even hot tater tots. They're definitely not hot. They've been sitting there for a while. He probably cooked them a while ago before he went to jail.
Now, maybe, maybe if he threw frozen ones at them... That's
different. Now that's different. But they're definitely cooked. Yeah. So we end our minutes though with him reading the review, starting to read the review that they wrote for him earlier, and it starts with the line, "Fuck your frozen food dreams."
Fuck your frozen food dreams.
So this is like this is that's me personal and mean, and that's where we end our minutes. That's where we end our minutes.
And it might be in the next minute, but we get this wonderful shot. Where they're like, I think it might be next minute, but he says, who wrote this? It might have been just before this. And they look at each other like, I don't remember. Did I write it? You write it?
That's funny. That
but they're giving each other credit for it.
Oh, that's really funny. That's very, very funny.
Yeah, what I was trying to say earlier with the Oscars is my go-to example for how up their own ass they are. In a perfect world, The Fly would have won for Best Actor.
True. Very true. Very true. Very true. Yep. So, anyway, that's where we end our minutes is
I do want to bring up one name.
Go for it.
Kevin Smith, why did you name one of your characters, the Muslim character, Jihad?
Because it crosses the line.
Not and... well.
Well, no. No, it did not. It did not.
But it crosses the line twice, which is great.
True. Well, what's funny about it, later in the movie, we discuss how we have an entire secret in this movie that in 2022 does not age well. It's not age well at all. 2022. Like, who knew? 3 years ago that we'd be dealing with what we're dealing with. But, like, 3 years, we'll talk about that in a few weeks. In, like, 2 weeks, we'll talk about that. But, like, it's crazy.
Because it'll be like how people keep saying that Jeff Dunham and Ahmed are racist when, in fact, in the Middle East, they're incredibly popular.
Oh, it's true. I didn't know that. That's a good point. That's a very valid point.
Incredibly popular. So basically, I say he named him Gia because we knew that people could take a joke, and if they can't, fuck him.
True. And that's kind of the whole theme of this movie, I think, actually. Yeah. Can't take a joke. Why the fuck are you here? Yeah. Like, why are you here? If you can't take a joke. Like, right? Like
the culture police?
Well, like, but what are you doing here? Like, how did you make it this far in this movie? You know what you're getting yourself into. It's a James Telebaugh movie. At the end of the day, you're getting it offended. Like, you know you are. Like, why are you here? Like, what are you doing here?
They're the people who thrive on outrage.
Fair. Fair, fair, fair. I'm going to say, it's really funny to me. Like, what are you doing here? Like,
the other thing that I really love, well, actually, let me take that. Like, so I went to a Stephen Page concert. People who don't know Stephen Page, lead singer B&L, at one time, no longer.
Correct.
And he wrote a song just before COVID happened called White Noise, about all of the crap that was going on during the Trump administration early on, down in Charlottesville. And there is no doubt it is a political type thing.
Right.
He is very much who he is. And so I went to a concert, and there was a person that was very, very drunk in the front row. And you would think they would get the hint, but they didn't. Like, throughout the concert, they just kept yelling stuff out. So when they get to the song, I Live With It Every Day, which is about a kid that murders another kid. Like, he intros it going, yeah, this is about a really hard time in my life. Like, it's a really hard story to tell. And the person yelled out, like, me too. I totally feel that way. I don't want to explore that more.
Wow.
Then he gets to White Noise. And all he says is, because we live in Maine, which at that time there was the whole Kavanaugh hearing going on. And he goes, your senator is one of the key senators in this whole decision. I'm not going to tell you what you need to say, what you need to think, what you need to believe, but please reach out to your senator and tell her what you believe. It is so important that she be your vote and your voice. And the person yelled out, don't tell me about that. And that was it.
Like, wow.
Stephen Page literally stopped the concert, and he's like, what do you mean? This is my concert. And she's like, well, don't get all political on us. And he's like, what? No, wait, madam. I don't know who you think you're here to see.
Right.
My songs are personal to me, and you paid to come and see my concert. This isn't a discussion. This is me espousing my beliefs, and you can agree with them or not, but we're not here for a conversation, so you can sit down. And she kept going.
Oh my God. Like, I would just kick her out at that point. Like,
well, at that point, you're like, well, you know what? I'm not singing anymore until you're out that door.
Good. That's exactly what you should do.
The audience, like, was totally against her. We kicked her out.
Good. Good.
I'm kind of shocked she didn't become a headline on Fox News.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. All right. Well, on that wonderful note, let's wrap up the show here. Next episode, we will have, let me just take my notes here. Next episode, we have a good friend, Kurt Hoffman, on the next episode, because he asked for the Chris Jericho minutes. So, that's what we're getting next, the Chris Jericho minutes. I'm just going to leave it that way, because I'm not going to say anything else. Yeah. Trust me, the conversation gets weird in our next episode. We'll just leave it at that. Tom will get strange. The last episode we had was from Tyler Bordeaux. He was our last episode. And that was the episode where it's like, what the fuck are we talking about? Like, what are we doing here? And the next episode just gets even stranger. Like, the next one gets even fucking stranger. So that's next episode. It's the point where I ask our guests to plug. So, Tracy, you know your thing. Do your thing. Plug away.
Well, as I mentioned and kind of hinted at earlier, I am the lead host of Bare Naked ABCs, which is a podcast that discusses every Bare Naked Ladies song from 7 to Y. And we are currently most of the way through. We are actually on P's. Next week, we actually get to record Pinch Me. Oh, my goodness. Thank goodness we're finally getting down that far into the alphabet.
Wow. It took a long time. I've been there since the beginning. It's taken a long time to get there.
I think you were our first guest.
Wow. What was that for? It was for like grade nine. What was it for? Grade nine? Back then? Or was it earlier than that? It was earlier than that. Jeez, I have to look back. It's been a long time. But yeah, jeez. We've been around again. We've been friends for a long time. We really have been friends for a while. Well, as for me, as always, you can go listen to me on the Blakeless House Show with Mark every single Friday. We're having some fun over there every single week. And you can go to theblakeless.com for more information, including where you can find merchandise and all the other fun stuff. And other links to just this show, but my other podcasts like Entertainment Apex and Barking Dogs Around Me, Entertainment Apex. Sorry, I'm distracted by Barking Dogs. And D5 The Mighty Ducks. Go listen to that. And Tracy was on D5 The Mighty Ducks as well. So go listen to those shows if you have not before. Let's wrap up here. Thank you, Tracy, for taking time out to do this show. This is awesome.
I love Jay and Silent Bob. I love all the Kevin Smith stuff. So it was an honor to come out and talk to one of my favorite filmmakers.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And maybe when we get around the Clerks 3, we can get you back for that as well, whenever that comes out next year. So we'll do that. For sure. As for us, we will see you on our next episode with the one and only Kurt Hoffman. Until then, thank you all for listening to the Clerks Mini Reboot. I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle.
Have a good day, everybody.
I kind of knew your father a little bit. Trust me, you're better off without him. Guy's a piece of shit.
Noinch, noinch, noinch. Smoking weed, doing coke, drinking beers, rolling fatties, smoking blunts. Who smokes the blunts? Rolling blunts and smoking.